Praise be to God. How many of y'all God's on the move? Can you, Lord, just a little? You know, it's amazing in the things that the Lord is doing, and so many times when a revelation comes from the Lord, it doesn't puff you up. It humbles you. In fact, when a revelation truly comes from God, it brings the fear of God. That's a true revelation. A true revelation from the Lord will always bring the fear of God. Has everybody got it? And so many times people come with a revelation, but it's puffing them up. How many of y'all know the devil can give you a revelation? Amen. But the Holy Spirit, when he brings revelation, he brings a revelation in an area where it brings the fear of the Lord to you. It brings a reality of seeing beyond. You know, so many times God is trying to expand our imagination. And the word imagination, in that word is the word image. That word image means that God speaks to us more through vision than he does through word. Did you ever hear the saying that a picture's worth a thousand words? Yeah, I know something like that. Because so many things can be expressed in the spirit realm, things move rapidly. And it's almost like sometimes a camera shot, boom, and God says something to you. And if we're sensitive enough, we get it. And in other words, it could be a whole chapter in one picture. And when that comes, there's such an impartation, it brings a reverence and fear of the Lord, and it brings humbling. Again, it never puffs you up. God is always trying to make himself more and more real to us. Because so many times we lose sight of the reality of the Lord. And what begins to happen is we begin to drift. And in the drifting arena, the enemy is always trying to sway. He's trying to implement. He's trying to change. He's trying to manipulate. He's trying to move us off course. The constant fight every day is to stay on course. It's a constant fight. Every single day is staying on course. And one of the things that has to continually happen is we need to get ourselves behind us. I'm going to say that again. We need to get ourselves behind us. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit brought was the reality of self. And there must be a reality of self. What is self? We have a teaching called, I think it's called the birth of self. But there is such a reality of self that needs to be implemented to where we begin to recognize how evil self is. Amen? Grab your swords. Lift them up. Everyone say, Lord, this is your word. I believe it. I receive it. Grant me the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding to receive your word and go beyond your word in relationship with you in Jesus' name. Isaiah 14, reality of self. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Let's speak this together. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. In other words, how you have fallen from position. How you have fallen from position. Verse 13. For you have what? Said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And this was the Lord's response. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now I want you to grab hold of something, because this I, in other words, here the Lord removed Lucifer from his position because he exalted himself. Does everybody got it? He exalted himself. I is the manifestation of self. Here he did five eyes. I want to show you something. I is the manifestation of self, and pride is the promoter. Has everybody got it? I is the manifestation of self, and pride is the promoter and the protector of self. I is the manifestation of self, or the manifestation of self is I. Amen. And pride is the promoter of self and protector of self. Now, if you look at the five eyes, you know, I was just fooling around. Whatever. If you take self and put it in reverse and put an H on it, it becomes flesh. And there are five letters in the word flesh. Flesh is associated with the five eyes. The five eyes equals flesh. Is everybody with me? Again, the opposite of S-E-L-F is F-L-E-S. And you put an H on it, and it becomes flesh. In other words, self-him. So the five eyes are associated with the word flesh. Amen? So we see here that Lucifer is in this, when he fell from position, he was removed from position because he manifested self. And self is the same as flesh. Revelation 12. So we see here that he was called Lucifer. Okay? Because at that position, he was God's right-hand man who betrayed him because self implemented. And in this, God removed Lucifer. When he removed Lucifer, he gave him another name. Revelation 12. Because Lucifer was a representation of morning star. Lucifer was also the first angel created. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the what? The dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. Here, Lucifer was called the what? The dragon. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, the what? Serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he had more names, didn't he? He went from Lucifer to dragon, to the serpent, to the devil, to Satan. He's also known as the angel of light. Here he was cast out of his position, and he was sentenced to the earth. Again, he was originator of rebellion and the promoter of self. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was what? More cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, the serpent. So, I want you to grab something. Lucifer now enslaved as a serpent. That was a part of his sentence. He would become a what? Serpent. And he was sentenced to where? The earth. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you what? Die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die," calling God a liar, because he is known as the father of lies. For God knows, now did he call God a liar, but he lied himself, didn't he? Amen. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now God never intended man to become good and evil. Okay, so the serpent was telling a partial truth, wasn't he? He said you would know good and evil, but he didn't tell them that they would become evil. In verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for what? Food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desirable to make one wise. All of these are associated with who? Self. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves what? Coverings. They tried to cover themselves. Lucifer was now enslaved as a serpent. He was under the rule of Adam. He expressed himself through the tree that bared the fruit of flesh or self. The fruit was associated with the fruit of self, or what we call the fruit of flesh. Self and pride. Self and then the pride which protects self. It was the seed of rebellion. It was the seed of separation. It was the seed of sin, and it was the seed of death that was in that fruit. So everybody got it. It was the seed of rebellion, separation, sin, death, and self. The five eyes of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, lust of the eye. Amen. Adam and Eve fell and lost authority, position, sight, fellowship with the Lord, and eternal life. I'm going to say that again. When Adam and Eve fell, they lost all authority. They lost their position. They lost sight. They lost fellowship with the Lord. And they lost eternal life. And the Lord said, listen, we got to remove them because they can't live like this forever. So we got to remove them from the tree of life. So when the Lord removed them from the garden, what he did is he took an animal and killed it and covered them. In other words, he was restoring them. Because only the Lord now can restore. But he took an animal of the flesh, killed it, and he removed the fig leaves. Is everybody with me? Now, what happened, then they had offsprings, all right? And Cain and Abel were the first offsprings of Adam and Eve. And in this, it expressed two selves, the one that would be evil and the one that would be righteous. Amen? Now, Lucifer then was restored as ruler and authority. And it still is to this day, except for those who are under Christ. So from that point on, all mankind was born in darkness. They were born of the flesh. They were born of self in the image and likeness of the serpent. So everybody got it. Psalm 51, the reality of self. The five eyes is what? Flesh. Flesh. Flesh, the same as self. And verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your what? Loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my what? Transgressions. Remember, there's sin, transgression, and iniquity. Sin is the presence of evil. Transgression is the act. Because the presence of evil is there. In other words, you obeyed the presence of evil. And iniquity is a curse that comes on you and your family line. He says, wash me thoroughly from my what? Iniquity. Blot out my transgression. That way the iniquity can be removed. And cleanse me from my what? Sin, my presence of the presence of evil from me. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. In other words, the presence of evil is always there. Where is the presence of evil always there? In self. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 5, read it with me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Hello. In other words, I was born of the flesh. I was born in darkness. I was born. In fact, what was birthed for me was self. Self was birthed. And self is the offspring of Satan. Or the serpent. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me to know wisdom. In other words, he desires truth in the inner parts because the truth of self, there is none. There is no truth in self. None. Oh, hallelujah. So everyone is born in iniquity. Amen? You and I were born in a curse. We are born blinded. We are born separated from God. We are born of the offspring of darkness called flesh and self. It's called born of the blood of flesh or of man. Galatians chapter 5. The reality of self. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19. Now the works of the flesh or the works of self, right? Or the works of Satan. The serpent, the devil, Lucifer. Are evident. Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is also associated with use of drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, things that are still associated with the fruits of self or of flesh. How about lying, stealing, manipulation, exaggeration? All of these things. How about pride, arrogance, and haughtiness? All of those things are associated with flesh, which are associated with self. Amen? And he says, look, and of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why will they not inherit the kingdom of God? Because then it's the same thing as letting Satan back into the kingdom of God. Do you understand this? The works of the flesh are the works of self, the serpent. He said, anyone who continues to do those things will not enter eternal life in the kingdom of God. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So who's the ruler of this earth right now? Satan. Mr. Self. Mr. Flesh. Verse 15. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father, the love of the Creator. In this, he's saying, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In this, it's not that God's love isn't coming. It's not that sometimes it's not there. It's that it's not allowed to have dominion. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father of creation, but it is the Father of the world. Has everybody got it? So anyone who's willing to love the world and all of its lusts, in the next verse it says, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So only if you do the will of God can you escape eternal damnation, because God will not allow Satan back into the kingdom of God. He's not going to allow it. Again, the ruler of the world is Satan, and his children are of darkness, which promote flesh and self. Ephesians 2. Oh, grab hold of this tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, who is what? Satan. Amen. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. In other words, he said, listen, you were offsprings of Satan, and you were eternally damned also. We were known as children of God's wrath. We were known as children of God's wrath. Has everybody got it? We were born known as children of God's wrath. Oh, hallelujah. So we lived under the power of the prince of power of air. We were the children of wrath. We had eternal separation. We were the offsprings of darkness and the promoters of flesh and self and pride. Amen? Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We ain't done. Flesh. Me. The trinity of Satan, me, myself, and I, right? mine. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's speak it together. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. So self has a will, doesn't it? Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Whoa. That's phenomenal. Let's go a little further. I like this. But these are like brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. Speak evil of things they do not understand. and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he is rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of that prophet. Now this is powerful, because in this we see that something is self-willed. In other words, self does have a will. And it's these people were just awaiting the wrath of God, not really knowing it, because they lived according to the flesh, and flesh is according to self. Amen? Go to John 8. John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. In verse 39, they asked and said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I what? Proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Again, there is no truth in self. "When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Powerful. So understand, when you and I were born into this realm, our father was the devil. That's why you and I are adopted. That's why we must be born again. You and I, when we were born in this realm, the only thing we were concerned about is us. Or we might have carrying certain things, but self was still leading us. Self lived. Self, the child of Satan. Does everybody got it? You and I were born in iniquity. Self was birth. He is the originator of self. So we know that self has a will, doesn't it? That there were children under the wrath of God, that the devil was their father and our father at one time. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, reality of self. "Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In other words, that he might destroy the works of what? Self. "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." So, in this, self does not practice righteousness. Has everybody got it? Self has no relationship with the Lord. In fact, the Lord will have no relationship with self, because he doesn't have a relationship with Satan anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Romans 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it. "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice of what? Same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, you'll escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Oh, whoa. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking. So there's self-willed and self-seeking, isn't there? And those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. So if you live according to the flesh or self, even if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you still die and go to hell because you're living according to your old way. Does everybody understand this? We'll show you this in a minute. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by self. Wow. And of course, and after he had fasted 40 days, he was 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the devil came and tempted him, didn't he? But he was in the wilderness to overcome self. Does everybody got it? He was going to overcome the devil, but the devil was the father of self, wasn't he? And how many of us were born in self? So the only way that he could rescue me and you was first to defeat self. Verse 10, verse 8. Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the what? The world. Doesn't self love the world? And their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Worship self, the greatest idol. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. I want you to understand that Jesus went into the wilderness to overcome self for me and you. Go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. In other words, Jesus came, right? But as many as received him, he came to his own, and his own did not what? Receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, watch this, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What was he doing? He was giving you a new self. Watch this. But before he could do that, he had to go overcome self in the wilderness, the father of self. Verse 14. This blew me away when the Holy Spirit showed me this. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God sent Himself. Are you with me? He sent Himself, the Self that became flesh, that was pure. And that Self went into the wilderness and overcame the self of ungodliness over the offsprings of Satan. The self of God had to overcome the self of ungodliness. Has everybody got it? God Himself, self, without, remember Jesus said, the devil doesn't have anything in me, because His blood was manufactured by God the Father. That's why Mary could not have a child from the flesh. She had to have a child that came from the blood in the throne room of God, because God the Father was sending Himself into the natural realm, called Himself Son, but it was actually the Self of God made, self-created through the womb, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness to overcome the old self so a new self could be created. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 16. So now you and I are born of God with a new self. I'm telling you, it blew me away when He showed me that He created Himself. Self. So simple, but so many times we don't see these things because it must be revealed by the Spirit. In Matthew 16, is everybody there? Now, Peter just got revelation from the Father that Jesus was the Christ, and Jesus said in this revelation of the anointing, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be what? Killed. Now, I want you to understand something, that the self of God that was in the flesh was going to kill Himself. Because the only way He could give the new self to each and every one of us was that His had to die. Oh, glory. And so He said He would have to be killed and be raised the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Why? Look at, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? So who was He rebuking? Self. Amen. Somebody got it? Where you see the word Satan and the devil, you are going to see self. Let's go to Ezekiel 11, verse 17. Therefore, say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you've been scattered. That means all nations, right? And I will give you the land of Israel. Then I will give them one heart. Come on, are you with me? Where are we going? 18, I'm sorry. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Verse 19, read it with me. And then I will what? I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. In other words, I will give them a new self. And take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a new heart of flesh. In other words, I'm going to give them a new spirit and I'm going to give them a new heart, because Your heart is the character of your spirit. Is everybody with me? In verse 20, what does it say then? That they what? That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So what is he going to do? He's going to give us, he promised to give a new spirit, a new heart, or he's going to give a new self, himself. Are you listening? So that we can now obey. So that we can now follow. Why? Because the old self is the offspring of darkness. Unfortunately, the old self still lives in us. But he said, I'm going to give you the power and dominion to overcome the old self so the new self can follow me. In Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is associated with judgment or wrath. Amen. Condemn. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen. Those who are in Christ Jesus. So those who have been saved by the blood, right? There's no condemnation. Amen? Well, then read the rest of it. Who do not walk according to the flesh. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you still live according to self and the flesh, he said that there is wrath. Amen? There's still wrath, isn't there? But according to the Spirit, so if we're living according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. But if we live according to self, even though we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's death. Amen? And verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death if I'm led by the Spirit. If I'm living by the Spirit, not according to the old self. So I must be living according to the new self. For what the law could not do, that in which it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So God himself came in the flesh, took all mankind's on all man's sin in his flesh, and killed it. So that you and I can get a new self. Everybody got it? That the righteous requirement, verse 4, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So the law, the righteous law that rescues me and you from death, sin, and separation from God will maintain, will be fulfilled if you are led by the Spirit, if you're living by the Spirit. And not by self or the flesh. Does everybody got this? Vitally important. It says, verse 5, let's all read this. Read it together. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Whoa. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you're living according to the old self, you have no access into eternal life. Plain and simple. You cannot, God will not allow Satan into his eternal kingdom. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Good. Woohoo. Verse 14. Let's speak it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? So is he going to allow sons of God in the kingdom? So that means we must live according to the Spirit, right? According to the new self. Amen? See, the old self always reacts. The new self responds. The new self submits to God because it knows it's going to have to resist the old self. Has everybody got it? Again, the old self is still there. It's all your fight is in who's taking authority every single day. That fight is there all the time. But if you are filled with the Spirit, The more the anointing, the more filling you are of the Spirit, the further you are away from the old self. People struggle. They grumble, complain, and struggle. Oh, shut up and lift your hands and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Quit your grumbling, complaining, and kill that thing. Put it back on the cross. You grumble. Let me tell you, what you speak is what you eat. You grumble and complain, you promote self. And self will bring you right to hell. It's real simple. You got to want a new life. You got to want it. If you don't want it, you don't get it. And you must be willing to do whatever it takes to get it and maintain it. Because the end result is heaven or hell. It's not about good and evil. It's about righteousness. If you are not practicing righteousness, and those are the things that please God, and only the new self can practice righteousness. The old self can't. The only thing the old self can do is good and evil. And that's not good enough for God. Is everybody okay? Woo-hoo. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Reality of self. That's what the enemy always wants to bring you to you. Me, 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 me.
It's all about me.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Galatians 5, verse 16. You know, it takes repentance. It takes to be humble. Lord, forgive me. 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 Forgive me. Let me tell you, the more times you ask for forgiveness, the more times he moves. See, if you think you haven't sinned, that's pride.
I didn't sin today. What did I do?
You just sinned. Why? Because you lied. But I don't remember sinning today. I know it, but you sinned anyways. And because you didn't see it and you're ignorant and you said you didn't sin, you just lied. So you need to repent for that. Oh, foolish flesh creatures. In verse 16, let's speak it. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of self. Verse 17, for the flesh or self lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against... In other words, look at this. The new self is constantly battling the old self. And it says, and these are contrary to one another, so you don't do the things that you wish or you desire. In other words, don't allow the old self to have dominion over you. Go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? In other words, the new self that is the offspring of God Almighty is associated with the Holy Spirit now. See, now you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, show me. See, when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit because you want relationship with God, different fruits begin to manifest. They're called the fruits of the Spirit. And he said, these are the fruits of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, not torment, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Look at this. Self-control. In other words, control over the old self. Against such, there's no law of sin, death, and hell. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one or envying one. In other words, don't go back and allow the old self to take over again. Galatians 6. In verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. See, the word tells us that we're to hate evil. You're to hate your old self. Do you understand that? If you still like your old self, you're in trouble. You're heading in the wrong direction. You're to hate your old self. And if you don't have hatred for your old self, you need to ask him, Lord, help me to hate sin, because self, the old self, is sin. And verse 7, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. What does it say? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Right? So what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get you to sow to self. He's trying to get the old man constantly to come up alive again. So he tries to get you to speak things to activate him. Has everybody got it? He tries to promote things. He tries to cause you to hear a voice that promotes lust. He's trying to get you to activate the old man called self. He says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Look at this, verse 8. For he sows to his what? Flesh, or his self, will of the self reap what? Corruption. That means the devil's got access to you when you sow. When you promote self, he's got access to you. You've given him a legal right to access you. But he who sows to the Spirit, the new self, will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So the devil's always trying to reactivate the old self. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to go back to Galatians chapter 5 for a second. And go to verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. We're still here. I mean, just look over there. Let's read this together. Verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, or what? Self, the old man, with its passions and desires. If we what? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you are led by the Spirit, the old man is crucified. Has everybody got it? If you are led by the Spirit, the old man of self, the child of Satan, sin, the presence of evil, is crucified. Luke chapter 10. Acts chapter 9. Now Saul was on his way to persecute the believers. And Jesus had another will compared to Saul's. So as Saul was cruising on his horse, he was approved to go take all the believers that were of the way or of Christ and bring them and imprison them. And they were killing them too. And on his way to Damascus, the Lord revealed himself to him. Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. And as he Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, into the city, and you shall be told what you must do. And then men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. In other words, the Lord blinded him. But the reality is he was already born blind. We are born blind to the spiritual things. In verse 8, and Saul rose from the ground, and his eyes were open, and he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. So God put him on the fast too. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. He couldn't see. I bet he was praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many people about this man and how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, Saul, he said, Brother Saul, receive the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. So Saul got filled with the Holy Spirit. The scales came off of his eyes. Look at what happened in the next verse. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So something happened to Saul. The baptism of the Holy Spirit separated the old self from the new self. Now go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke 10, verse 17, then the 70 disciples returned with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. They were all excited, man. They were out casting out demons, and they were partying up. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you know that that's a message for me and you? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits or the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And I'm going to close in Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The reality of self, the old self, and the new self. It's called the new inner man. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Now let's speak this together. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That inner man is the new self. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. And he has given us a new self. Amen? A new self. Now we want to maintain that separation from the old and the new. That's why it's important to abide, isn't it? The three abidings. Abiding in his presence through worship, abiding in his word through prayer, and abiding in fellowship. Let me tell you, the enemy can easily manipulate. And the next thing you know, you're rebellious. That's the old man. Has everybody got it? Next thing you know, you're grumbling and complaining. You're accusing. That's the old man. And when you do that, you just sowed to the old man. Because you've sowed to the flesh, and you give access to the enemy. And the next thing, you're struggling all over again. That's why some people take one or two steps forward and then three or four steps back. Because they allow themselves access from the enemy. So everybody got it. The Bible says he who is in Christ is a new creation. That new creation is the old, separated from the new. You got a new self. You got a new spirit and a new heart. Now you have the heart and the mind of Christ. But the enemy's always trying to disqualify the new by promoting the old. He who's in Christ is a new creation. All things that pass away, all things become new. They're becoming new. They're not becoming the same. They're becoming new. You see different. You speak different. You act different. Not because you can do it in your own strength, because he's expressing himself now. The self of God Almighty, the new self of you, is united together in expressing himself. Does everybody understand? So please, remember the self in you, the old self, is evil. It has no truth, desires no truth, only lust over everything. Its only promoter is me, myself, and I. And its end is eternal separation. Self, the old self, will never have relationship with God. Never. It only has relationship with Satan, the devil, the serpent, and hell. Only the new self has a relationship with God. That's why God fellowships with his children, not self. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your truth. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be protected. Let it be protected by the blood. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. Bring revelation and impartation to each and every one here tonight. And I pray, Father, that they will hate evil and the old self and its actions. And that the new self will arise, the offspring of the anointed one and his anointing, willing to do whatever it takes to bring glory to your name, that we may enter into eternity with you saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.